And now here are some of the letters received at the Evening News during the past week. We'll start with one from Tim Bornett from Buckingham. Private schools aren't crumbling. Apropos the ongoing saga of crumbling school buildings, I have yet to hear of crumbling school buildings in the private educational sector, the latter being mainly Georgian or Victorian. An example of private affluence and public squalor? As a letter writer pointed out in a national newspaper, the Romans built the Pantheon 2,000 years ago, and it is still standing with little or no support structures. The Roman Empire might have collapsed, but the structures and infrastructures largely have not collapsed.
Rob Vautier from Old Catton speaks up in support of BBC presenter Sophie Little. Sophie Little's remarks on Radio Norfolk were both correct and understandable. In my view, the BBC has little interest in local broadcasting, either radio or television. The BBC statement was ridiculous and pure management speak. When services to the public are reduced, usually with job losses, they are referred to as being modernised. The senior managers who make these decisions are, of course, exempt from being modernised themselves. It seems to me that the BBC has to save money to ensure it can continue to pay £1 million plus to the presenter of a football programme who needs a couple of very highly paid ex-players to assist him. New television programmes are promoted as being on iPlayer and not on a particular channel. Viewers who do not have a good smart television with good broadband are seemingly regarded as irrelevant. There have been suggestions that the licence fee might be decriminalised, but that is unlikely to happen because of the number of people like me who will then refuse to pay it. There is, in effect, an unwritten agreement between the BBC and licence holders. In my view, the BBC have broken it and ignored the Royal Charter mission.
Trevor Lewis from Trouse feels larger wind turbines are less intrusive. In the 8 years of onshore moratorium, wind turbines have got a lot bigger. An older, smaller wind farm would have several turbines, each rotating very quickly, and I can understand that a busy visual addition like this to peaceful rural environments is out of place. The latest turbines are much taller, and only one or two need to be installed, compared with many more of the older types for a given site. The rotation rates of newer, larger turbines are slower, which I find to be less intrusive, despite their greater height. The historic town of Mendenblik, Netherlands, has one such large turbine, and to my eyes, it does not look out of place. Perhaps now that the moratorium is being relaxed, Norfolk County Council or South Norfolk Council could consider one new big turbine at each of their Ketteringham industrial sites just off the A11. Just as with the well-accepted A47 turbines at Swaffham, that would be a good advertisement to visitors and residents alike of our environmental credentials.
Harriet Cockle from Milam has a suggestion to combat poor buildings in light of the aerated concrete saga. Please may I suggest that a technically competent person should reincarnate some of the architects and builders who managed to erect cathedrals and churches about 1,000 years ago with the aid of block and tackle, which are still standing. Unlike our hospitals, schools and courtrooms, which are disintegrating after a few years, or even months. Progress?
Days before snail mail. Your correspondent Joan Wheatley, in the letters of August the 31st, suggests that the royal part of Royal Mail should be removed from their title, as they failed to deliver her first-class letter in 4 days. In the days prior to the Second World War, it would be possible to have a letter posted, collected and then delivered to an address on the same day, say Great Yarmouth to Wyndham, as an example, for the cost of a penny stamp, and all due to the excellent service given at the time by various railway companies in conjunction with the General Post Office. It is still possible to hunt through a collection of old postcards to find one written before lunchtime in the aforementioned Great Yarmouth, and the lady writer visitor saying that she hopes to see the recipient later in the day, possibly for tea. Things have changed dramatically nowadays, of course. Here in Hillside Road, Thought St Andrew, my experience is now that I only receive my mail on Mondays, Wednesdays and Friday, whilst two roads away in South Avenue, I understand that mail is delivered on Tuesdays, Thursdays and Saturdays. I am sure that many readers are unaware of the reduced service we now receive from Royal Mail, yet they still sell us first and second class stamps, as far as I'm aware. Confidence trick, anyone?